The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent is from 2 Samuel, chapter 7. Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 16. "Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is her sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. One of the most beloved hymns of the Christmas season has to be Silent Night. Was it that silent? Was it that peaceful? Do you guys want to have a peaceful, good Christmas? Well, I'm going to talk about that this morning. As far as the hymn, Silent Night, there's a lot of stories about how it was written and why it was written and all that. But the one I like is, in a small church in the upper hills of Austria, there was a Pastor Moore, and he was getting ready for the Christmas Eve service, he found out that the organ was broken. Well, how can you have Christmas Eve without Christmas carols and hymns? So he talked to his choir master, Franz Gruber, and between the two of them, they scratched out on paper Silent Night, and it was originally meant to be played on a guitar, not an organ. So I think that's kind of funny when people say hymns have to be played on an organ. Well, Silent Night was played on a guitar. I doubt it was an electric guitar, though. It's probably the most loved hymn because it talks about the perfect Christmas. How do you define a perfect Christmas? Perfectly behaved children. Disaster-proof meals that clean up themselves. Don't you wish they would? Anyway, you get your sink all nice and clean on the 24th, your kitchen spick and span, and then by the night of the 25th, it looks like a nuclear disaster zone. But anyway, disaster-proof meals which clean themselves. Piles of fresh snow, but it doesn't impede any traffic. Excuse me. Gifts unwrapped in an orderly, clean manner. And church services filled with favorite carols, a short but meaningful sermon. And it sounds rather ideal, doesn't it? Or rather idealistic. Reality is different than that. Children get cranky, dishes pile up. Part D never seems to fit in the Part A, like the instructions say. And you notice the illustrations and the instructions never match what you're building. Why is that? I think it's the toy manufacturers or the other manufacturers messing with us. Or the last-minute dash to buy a gift for somebody who's coming unexpectedly. Or the closed roads that keep Aunt Sue, Uncle Frank, and their five children home and can't make it to your house for Christmas dinner. That's much more like reality. Caesar Augustus had declared that a census should be taken, so everybody had to return to their hometown. He wanted the census not just to know how many people there were, but to tax them. See, look, people have been facing taxes since the beginning of time. Imagine what it would be like in America if after the 2020 census, we all had to return to our hometown. What would the roads and the airlines look like? It would be pure chaos out there. Well, the first Christmas was filled with jammed roads of people moving down the roads through Israel, north and south, to get to their hometown. Then imagine being 9 months pregnant and riding on a donkey. I've ridden on a donkey. They're not a comfortable animal. I can't imagine being pregnant and riding an uncomfortable animal. Mary and Joseph find Bethlehem filled with visitors. Every courtyard would have been filled with people building fires, trying to stay warm, trying to catch some sleep, but it was hardly quiet. Mary and Joseph, though, could expect a certain level of hospitality because it's a cultural difference. In this culture, if a family member shows up, it's the family's responsibility to put them up somewhere. To show inhospitability to someone is a cultural and religious offense, is an affront to God himself. You had a responsibility for your family. It's always amazed me that in the Christmas story, none of the people in the house where they were staying in the barn gave up their spot so Mary could have a cleaner, nicer place to have her baby. I've always wondered that one. That goes on my list of things I'm going to ask when I get to heaven. That list is getting pretty big. I'm going to need a second coffin just to carry that book with me. Now, I'm sure none of us were born in a barn or a stable. But Almighty God himself, fully man and fully God, decided to be born in a humble barn. Mary probably had one of the stables in the barn. And at this time, women would come to assist the one giving birth. The men, we stood outside. We waited for sounds, like the mother going into labor, then the sound of the baby, and then the sound of the women's shrieks in joy that the baby was born safe and healthy. There was probably very little rest for Mary and Joseph that night. Outside of Bethlehem, the shepherds were guarding their flocks, watching over their flocks. Some would have been trying to sleep, others trying to stay warm around a fire. Then an angel appears. Now that in and of itself had to be a scary sight. I've never seen an angel, but the description of them in the Bible, they're pretty awesome looking. But to have one appear, and of course the first words out of his mouth is, "Fear not." Well, duh. I would have been hitting that ground so hard, may have shook it. Now add an angelic choir. They get the announcement that Jesus has been born in Bethlehem. And instead of running to gather up their scattered flocks, they run into Jerusalem itself. The shepherds are now added to the crowd of people in that barn. Then they told everybody what had been announced to them. But only Mary, in all this hustle and bustle, took the time, as it says, to ponder it and wonder what it all meant. She soaked it all in, thinking, later I'm going to have to process this and try to understand what's going on. But it was only Mary who did that. We want that perfect Christmas. But even the first Christmas was far from perfect. Because God's Son doesn't wait. Whether there's catastrophe, squabbles, confusion, just everyday life, He doesn't wait. Children cry through a candlelight service, but a newborn baby fussed and cried in a manger. Tempers get short, side dishes get burnt, carefully decorated homes look like disaster zones after a morning of unwrapping gifts, but Bethlehem was overcrowded. A baby will be born regardless of housing conditions. The shepherds will leave their flocks undefended and search through the confusion for a newborn. We seek the special, the peaceful, and calmly prepared moments to look for God. Instead, God comes to us in ordinary distractions of life, the busyness of life, the moment of tension, and in the midst of our problems and mistakes, and brings us peace. You want to have the perfect Christmas? Focus on the Christ child, and all the rest will just fall into place or just become memories of, remember last year when this went wrong? So you want the perfect Christmas? Focus on the Christ child. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.